Be a reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me."
I want to thank the men for leading us in our worship tonight. I want to thank you for being here. Appreciate you coming out. And particularly as the time has changed, it's darker and it's kind of discouraging for people to come out. But I'm glad you came. And because you're here, you help brighten it up. So keep that in mind, that you are a light. And we're glad that you're here. So encourage you to come back at any opportunity you may have. When we enter our lesson, let us go to God in prayer. God, Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son to this world. And Father, when we think about all the things that can filter our minds and all the problems and issues, may we center that one thought, that one thought of your Son Jesus, and help us to be able to have the fellowship that comes with understanding that Jesus is Christ, he is our Lord, he is our Savior. And Father, when all the things in this world really don't matter compared to who he is and what he does for us. And Father, may we keep that always before us. And may we be reminded and encouraged by what your word has to say. Father, as we have gathered here tonight, we just ask your blessing upon our study. We pray that we will open up your word, that we will have an open mind, and be able to apply the word in such a way that we will be better people for you. Father, we're mindful there are many lost in our world. There are many who have been discouraged by sin and evil, and they're looking for hope. And Father, we pray that we can be able to see those opportunities and take advantage of them and be able to help them, those who are lost, come to know you. Father, we're also mindful of those who are hurting. Father, many that are mentioned on our prayer list, some are having their private hurts in their own life with relationships and with finances and with various other issues, and we just pray your comforting hand to be upon them at this time. Father, we just thank you for all you do for us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I'd like to begin with a story before we go to our lesson. But the story is told of a young lady named Brenda. Brenda and a group of her friends were getting together, and they were going to go rock climbing. Brenda was new at rock climbing. In fact, this was her first time ever. And so she was very apprehensive about the trip. Well, as her friends instructed her how you go about rock climbing and the gear and the safety ropes and all this, she began her ascent to the cliff. And as she climbed slowly and nervously, she got to a point where she was waiting for some of the other climbers to go ahead of her, and she just sat on a ledge. And as she was sitting on the ledge there, and she had began to not be as fearful, and she began enjoying the scenery that she saw so high above the landscape. Well, she's sitting there admiring, and about that time a safety rope hit her face and her contact flew out. This made her nervous all over again with the added desperation of now she's lost a contact. As she began to frantically look and maybe even feel around, maybe on the ledge, that this contact might be there, to no avail, she slowly made her way up to the top of the mountain, and as her friends were gathered around, they searched frantically for her contact lens, to no avail. Finally, as the day began to progress, she decided, and her friends decided to slowly go down the cliff and go back to their homes. Well, as she went down, lo and behold, there was another group coming up the cliff. And they began to yell at their friends and the people that are around them, "Hey, look, come here. There was an ant over here and something unusual. It was carrying something very large, something very difficult and bulky for it." Lo and behold, it was her contact lens. She was able to find that contact lens. The story continues by Brenda went to her father. Her father was a cartoonist. And so she began to tell him this incredible story And so the father drew a cartoon. Here he drew a picture of an ant lugging that contact lens with the words and the caption, "Lord, I don't know why you want me to carry this thing. I can't eat it, and it's awfully heavy, but if this is what you want me to do, I'll carry it for you." Now, when I heard that story, I couldn't help but think of the passage we want to study tonight. If you have your Bibles, encourage you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, we are introduced to this idea that Paul is struggling with. He has something that he can't get rid of. He's prayed for it, but he can't. God has told him no. Notice what it says. Beginning of verse 7. "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I exalt above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is significant for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul reminds us of some things here that is very important for you and I this evening. As we think about this text, it reminds us that pain happens. Pain happens. As we look through 2 Corinthians, probably the most personable of all Paul's letters, we see that Paul faced many trials, many situations that caused him some would lose faith. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, we see that Paul relays some of his struggles and some of his challenges. In fact, as we read through this passage, we see that he is really, as we get into chapter 4 and chapter 5, talking about longing for heaven. But notice some things he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat." Let me sit back up to chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 8, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." Paul is dealing with some persecution. He's dealing with being forsaken and struck down. It only continues in chapter 6 when he continues some of his struggles in chapter 6, verses 3 through 10. Notice as he continues relaying some of his struggles, he says, "We are given no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we are commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience and tribulations, and needs, and distresses, and stripes, and imprisonments, and tumults, and labors, and sleepless nights, and fasting." He continues over in chapter 11, verses 23 and 27, again relaying many of the situations, the heartaches, going without food, and being shipwrecked, and the list continues. And then we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Paul shares yet another painful situation. In all of this, particularly in verses 7 through 10, many scholars debate what this thorn in the flesh was. Many of them will argue that it's probably a sickness or a disease of some sort. Some even make the idea that maybe it was an eye problem, that maybe he had some issue with his eyes. Some say maybe it was malaria. I've heard even one person say maybe it was actually a person that was a thorn in the flesh. And all that might be comical to some, actually a thorn in the flesh is a metaphor used in the Old Testament of people. And sometimes people are a thorn in the flesh. And well, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Whatever that pain was, Paul experienced it. And we're reminded that pain happens. Pain happens in this world. Pain happens throughout the Bible. From the very beginning, we see that pain was a part of living in this world. I can imagine that Adam and Eve experienced pain when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin. I'm sure they experienced pain when Cain killed Abel. And then we pass through the pages of the Bible and they see many accounts and many events where people experience pain. Maybe it was a loss of a loved one, or maybe it was disputes with families and friends. We think about Job suffering, and he had many questions about that suffering. And yet, we see that he experienced pain. As we go through the pages of the Bible and we think about the Israelites, and as they had this ebb and flow with their relationship with God. And then we see the climax at one point with Jeremiah, who's known as the weeping prophet. Pain upon pain, suffering after suffering. And then we come to the New Testament, and ultimately we see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, going to the cross, where he was beaten and spit upon and rejected and denied and betrayed and ultimately crucified on our behalf. Our Lord and Savior experienced pain. Well, John 16 and verse 33, Jesus even tells us that in this world you're going to have trouble. In this world you're going to experience pain. In this world we're going to face sickness and disease and hardships and all kinds of situations. And it might be you have a thorn in the flesh. Faithful people like Paul, even our Savior, experience pain, and so will we. And whatever that thorn in the flesh that Paul had, and many hardships that he experienced, and some were even life-threatening and very discouraging, being abandoned and neglected, yet in each situation, we see that he pressed forward. He never gave up. See, church, pain is real. And regardless of where we find ourselves tonight, we're probably experiencing some pain, some more than others. Or if we're not experiencing pain, it's not a matter of if, but when we're going to experience pain. Pain happens. But also, notice in our text that pain has a purpose. Pain has a purpose. See, Paul wrote that even in sickness and in pain, God works. Now, that is seems to be contrary to normal thinking, but in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our pains, in the midst of our suffering, God works. Paul prayed three times for God to deliver him, but the Lord did not answer that prayer as Paul wanted. Now, may we caution, God did answer that prayer, and yet it wasn't what Paul wanted. Paul goes on to explain that because God did not take that thorn away from him, it was provided to buffeting his body or buffeting his faith, reminding him Paul needed to be humble. He needed to keep in check. Just as God had permitted Satan to test Job in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, as Peter in Luke 22, 31 through 34, and he was permitted to attack Paul. But notice how God used this. This wasn't to Paul's disadvantage, but it was to his advantage. God permitted a messenger of Satan to be able to keep Paul humble. Whatever this thorn in the flesh, this infirmity, a sickness, this disease, or maybe even a person, it was there to keep Paul humble. No doubt Paul was like you and I, that if you and I had a sickness, a disease, some thorn in the flesh, we definitely would pray for healing. But what do we do if that healing never comes? What do we do if that sickness continues? What do we do if that disease doesn't go into remission or disappear? What did Paul do? Paul continued to stay focused on Jesus. What do we do now? Somebody get the alarm? Just a side note, if that's really alarm, we're in a lot of trouble. All right. As they take care of that, let's continue. Let's stay focused on Christ here. As Paul would in his circumstances, stay focused on Christ. Stay focused on Christ. In his situation, he wasn't sickness focused. He wasn't focused on the circumstance. He was focused on Christ. Paul fixed his eyes on Christ. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and we see that he said this, "My grace is significant for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's faith, church. Believing in the unseen, understanding the confidence that he had in God, understanding that Christ is going to see him through, even though Paul did not get what he had desired. Paul knew the things of this world had nothing to offer him. He knew that this world had nothing that he could gain. All was in relationship to Jesus Christ. Paul was Christ-centered. Notice also that Paul was not self-centered. Paul knew it wasn't about him. And when he was satisfied and he had the faith to realize that God knew what was best. You know, church, there is more important things than you and me. There are more important things than myself. John Ashcraft put it this way. The most important thing, he said, that my father had ever taught him was that there was more important things than me. That's exactly what Paul was teaching us here. That there is something more important than me. And Paul knew this. And Paul understood this. And so he stayed Christ-focused. He did not have a defeated attitude. He did not go around saying, "Oh, woe is me." He didn't go around complaining and criticizing all these things that could have done. It comes pretty natural for us as humans. He turned that around. He focused on Christ. Christ was what gave him encouragement. Christ and focusing on him helped him to overcome. See, we all face struggles. We all face trials. And if we can learn anything by focusing on Christ, it's never to give up. And if we can learn anything from the Apostle Paul, who was human like you and I, is never give up. That there is purpose in our trials. One of my favorite stories of the Old Testament is Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. You remember when Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers and how he was treated by his brothers, and then how he was treated as a slave. And over, Joseph experienced hardship and discouragement and rejection, one thing after another. And at the end of Genesis 50, I love what he says in regard to his brothers after Jacob has died. His brothers are fearful that here is the second most powerful man in Egypt, and he's the brother of those who tried to send him into slavery. And they're fearful for their life. But Joseph says to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, God intended for good to save many lives." We need to look at our situations in that regard. This is how Joseph, this is how Paul, and many of the people of faith looked at their situations. And we realize there are hard situations. We need to realize there are difficult situations. But these things should draw us closer to Christ. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, it reminds us that Paul was able to have the attitude he did because he realized that Christ gave him strength. Christ helped him endure those struggles and overcome. And there was purpose. If there was no other purpose than that God used Paul to set an example for the rest of us, that we can live in this life despite the hardships, the trials, and the suffering, and we can overcome and be able to experience one day that home in heaven. Pain has a purpose. But number three, pain has power. And that power is God's power. See, Paul said that God's grace was significant for him. In Romans 8:28, we see that it reminds us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. You know, in our human mind and our human weakness, we don't realize that the power in the midst of our struggles. We don't realize that there can be something good that comes out of the bad. And yet, we're reminded, hopefully, of the cross. As the events of the cross unfolded, and as Jesus was betrayed, and as he was denied, and as he went through that ordeal to the cross, it looks grim. In fact, we see that his apostles, and most of them abandoned him. We see that it was only John that was at the cross. It looks grim. And then when he actually died, who comes from the grave? You must put yourself in that situation. You must put yourself in their shoes, because no one has come from the grave as Jesus predicted. But 3 days later, he did. Up from the grave, he arose. He overcame, he resurrected, and he gives hope. And when we think about those struggles and trials we face, Jesus is a reminder that we can overcome. Not in a selfish way, not in a materialistic way, but in a spiritual way. Our weakness is Christ's strength. It is in our weakness that God looks at our lives and says, hey, here's an opportunity to work. Notice verse 10, for the sake of Christ, and I am content with weakness, Paul says. Insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. See, when we think about these weaknesses, when we think about these struggles, when we think these trials, whatever it may be, maybe you're insulted because of your faith. Maybe you're facing hardships, or maybe there's persecution, or notice as Paul concludes here, calamities. It's in those moments that we are vulnerable, where we lack security, then God begins to work. Look how God has shown his greatness throughout the ages. All we have to do is study about Abraham or Moses or David or Gideon, Samson, even Peter. And we see that in these instances and many others that God worked through the weak to show who he is and who he was and what he is doing and how strong he is. Even the nation of Israel, out of least of all the other nations, he used them to show his great might. God works through our weaknesses. It is during these times that he brings about good and he makes things strong, even though we may not see it right away, even though it may not be obvious in that moment. In James 1 and verse 2, it says, consider it joy when we face many trials. See, James and Paul are talking about joy. They're not talking about happiness. See, happiness depends on the happenings around us, but joy depends on Christ. Happiness is contrast to joy. Joy is the quiet confidence assurance of God's love and work in our lives, that he will be able to be there no matter what. Paul, the Bible tells us to respond to trials with joy. Not that we're happy about the situation, not that the situation is something we are excited about and wishes it on ourselves. No, we need to look at trials as spiritual weightlifting. If you know anything about weightlifting, weightlifting tears down the muscles. And then as the body repairs that muscle, it gets stronger, tears down, and makes stronger. We need to view our weaknesses, those insults, those hardships, those persecution and difficulties as opportunities to grow, to be stronger, and allow God to work. You think about all the things that God uses. He uses when they're broken. Broken soil to produce a crop. Broken clouds to give rain. Broken grain to give bread. Broken lives to give a new life. We think about Peter. In order for God to use him best, he had to be broken and weeping before he returned and became that speaker that he was on the day of Pentecost. For when we are weak, Christ is strong. For when we are weak, God uses that as an opportunity to work. See, it's in our weakness that we let go and we let God. This must be realized if we are to finish the Christian race. We need to ask the question as we're thinking about this, what is your attitude towards suffering? Too many times people try to find relief at the bottom of a pill bottle or at the bottom of a beer bottle. Too many times people try to find relief in some immoral relationship, or maybe overworking, or countless other things. But how do we deal with suffering? Well, Paul is an example. He reminds us that we press forward. We continue on. We look unto Jesus and strive to follow and keep obeying. Yes, we may suffer. Yes, we may struggle, but we keep going. I'm reminded that the saying goes that sometimes God calms the storm, and other time God calms his child in the storm. As we as Christians take an example from Paul and many others of faith, it reminds us we need to keep going, keep doing, keep obeying, as difficult as may be. I think about a football player. A football player often gets hurt a lot, and they're bandaged, and they have to go week after week playing football hurt oftentimes. Could you imagine a football player going to his coach and say, "Well, coach, I've got a bruise on my leg. I'm going to sit this one out." He probably wouldn't get a very good comment from his coach if he said something like that. Coaches challenge their players to play through their pain. They challenge them to endure the elements. They challenge their players to endure through difficult situations week after week after week. And maybe that would be a good example for the Christian. You and I are to live the Christian life, and sometimes we get hurt. Maybe not necessarily always physical, but we need to continue to playing, continue living, continue to being the type of person that God needs us to be in our everyday life. We need to keep enduring, keep continuing. And that's exactly what Paul did. Paul had this thorn in the flesh. I don't know what that was, but he kept on being faithful unto God. As we conclude tonight the study of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 10, when we think about this passage, I'm reminded of a pearl. You probably know how a pearl is formed. A pearl is probably one of the most beautiful pieces of jewelry there is. Many people love pearls, and there is a big market for pearls. But a pearl begins as a grain of sand in the mouth of an oyster, and it's really an irritant. It's a thing that causes discomfort, so I'm told, in the oyster. And as it over time, as the oyster lives, and as it expels the food, and as it eats food, and all this process takes place, a pearl forms. I find it interesting that this thing of suffering, this thing of irritants, becomes something that we call a pearl. It's a gem, in a sense, something of beauty and great value. As I thought about that, I couldn't help but think about the Apostle Paul. I couldn't help but think about the Christian life. There are many things that irritants are in our lives. There are many things that cause great suffering. But if we continue and endure, it'll be something of great beauty. Maybe that's no accident when we think about in Revelation 21 and verse 21 that the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem are made of pearls. It's a reminder that the suffering of our Savior that allows the gates to be there in the first place. Paul knew the great cost of suffering. Paul endured many persecutions, infirmities, shipwrecks. The list goes on and on, but he continued despite the great cost of suffering. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8, are his last words. And notice what he says, "For I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who loved his appearing." We must remember that we can overcome our trials through the strength that Christ provides, through the example that Paul shows us we can overcome, regardless of what that thorn in the flesh is for you and I. But here's something else. That promise is only for Christians. Tonight, are you a Christian? Do you look at your life and say that I'm a Christian? Praise God if you're a Christian tonight. But if you're here tonight and you're outside of Christ, you can only receive that promise by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you repent of your sins tonight, and will you put Christ on in baptism and become a Christian this very night? We'd be glad to assist you and help you. Or maybe you've done that, and for some reason, the trials, the suffering, the challenges of the world have got you down. And maybe you even abandoned the faith, but you need to restore it. You need to repent. Will you do that tonight? Come now as we stand.